Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to us by our friends over at Wix. Go to Wix.com. That's Wix.com/podcast and get 10% off. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a song on the radio have a hidden meaning for one person? A deep sleep brings a message of peace for someone struggling with letting go. Images seen on mirrors of a haunted house leave a lasting impact for a group of friends. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or, of course, support the show. Keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person through our website, ghostpodcast.com. You go there, you get advanced access to all the episodes of our show, commercial free. Get them weeks before they go to the public. You also get access to our EPP bonus episodes, brand new ones of those exclusive to EPPs every single week. All sorts of great bonuses there at ghostpodcast.com. So go ahead and check that out and help keep us on the air. Tony and Jenny joining you on today's episode of the program.
Hi.
The drugged up Jenny today?
I took as much as I could to hopefully keep me from coughing all the way through the episode.
I'm glad you phrase that with coughing. I just took as much as I could and then I came in here and thought it'd be a great spooky show.
No, I mean, one of the blessings, I guess, of having the flu when you have asthma is it usually turns into something else. So it's on to bronchitis, but that means I can take something now and get better.
Yeah, it's just like it's a wave. It's like surfing the spectrum of illnesses, mm-hmm. of winter illnesses.
So I'll be good.
It's exciting. Exciting stuff. So yeah, there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I was happy to say I tried Sucrets. You made me try one yesterday for mm-hmm. the first time since childhood. And they seem a little different.
I just remember them tasting basically like cherry lifesavers.
Uh-huh.
And now they actually do something.
They actually have medicine in them.
Yeah.
Worked pretty well. Not an advertisement for Sucrets, but I was like, but you only get like 6 or 8 or something a box.
You get 18.
You do? Really?
Mm-hmm. You
okay.
get 18.
Okay. I didn't used to be like, they were like a bunch, like more than that. They were tinier.
And they were loose in the box.
Yeah.
They were like paper, almost like Altoids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say Altoids. But I did, like I said to you that I was amazed though that the scarf now actually flies in from the ceiling and then wraps around your neck. Every time you do it, it's this amazing thing.
I tell you what, 2 days ago, I would have taken anything they told me to take. But I always had Halls. That was mm-hmm. our go-to cough drop. Mm-hmm. And these beat the pants off Halls, I think.
So if the doctor said to you, we'd like you to eat a can of tuna-flavored Fancy Feast, would you have been like, where's the can opener?
You know, for a little while, it might have. If it got rid of me coughing and the pain of me coughing, then yeah.
The funny thing is, I've been on the air, and the person opposite me has actually done that once.
Well, it ain't happening again.
It wasn't you, but it has happened in my career. So, there you go.
That's messed up.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to our first story. It says it was the year 2000. I was in the Army and had been sent to Korea. I'd been there about 4 months when one night in a dream, my friend Jessica came to me. Quick background, Jessica was my wife's friend. We shared the same birthday, shared a lot of laughs, and at one point, we were in a music store. They had the Led Zeppelin box set with the song, Hey, Hey, What Can I Do on it? She was so excited and said it was her favorite song. Since neither had the money, we decided to split the cost and I would get a copy. Back to Korea. So I wake up from this dream about Jessica and all I can think about is talking to her. So all day I'm thinking when I get off work, I'm going to call the wife, get her number, and give her a call. End of the day hits and I'm excited. I feel like I have to talk to her. We have the end of the day formation across the street from the post office. So I check the mail. There's a letter from another friend, Anne. I go back to the barracks, open this letter. I can still remember the purple ink. As I read the letter Anne had written a few days before, she tells me that Jessica had died in a crash with a semi. My heart sank and I cried. Man, did I cry. I collected myself and called my wife Anne. Then I go to eat and I sit for the night. That night, Jessica was back in my dreams, and I can only remember that she was at peace. She wasn't upset, her normal happy self. I wake up in tears, full-blown tears. A man 3,000 miles away from home on a base in Korea in the army, and I wake up in tears because of a dream. We go outside for physical training, and it's raining to beat the band, so they send us inside to the gym. I find an exercise bike and listen to music. It's one of those TVs with a blue screen and music plays, and they had some hip-hop station on. I didn't care for it at all, but I just rode through it and lost in my mind. Then I hear the song, Hey, Hey, What Can I Do? By Led Zeppelin, come on. The station only played hip-hop, and here it was, her favorite song. I got this feeling that it was her saying goodbye. I felt a sense of peace after that, almost as if she had told me something in the dream that was triggered by the song. To this day, whenever I hear that song, which isn't very often, I feel like it's her just saying hi.
They obviously shared a very empathic connection, whether, you know, they just wanted to or not, but to have that kind of connection where she'd come back basically to tell him that she's gone.
Yeah.
I think that's really a neat story. It's really sad, but I think it's a neat one.
I'm sure there's a lot of listeners right now thinking in their head, I'm going to break into that song. I don't know how it goes.
No.
Do you?
I would recognize it if I heard it, but I couldn't tell you how it goes right now.
I think I've played it on the air when I worked in rock like 20 some years ago.
Uh-huh.
But that would have been the last time I heard it.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, everyone who likes Led Zeppelin. As a consolation song?
No. There's no consolation song. No.
There's got to be a consolation song.
I don't have the energy to argue this.
What will be a good consolation song?
You being quiet.
Does it have to be in the vein of rock?
I don't know.
Doesn't have to be?
I'm not going to do this.
Take a suit credit. Let me sing.
Okay.
That's a little bumper sticker right there. Take a suit credit and let me sing.
It makes sense to five people.
Okay, a big thank you to our supporter this week, Wix. Go to wix.com/podcast. Get 10% off. Yes. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to get 10% off? Why would you want to use Wix? Because if you're in the world of making a website or need a website for your business, your blog, whatever it may be, Wix is the way to go. If you want just a top quality website without the hassles of having a whole team and this person and that person and the designer that you need to wait on, and then, or if you're going to try and handle it yourself, then buying this service and that service and getting this over here and that over there and then trying to put it all together and then hopefully it all works. No, Wix, it works because it's all part of their ecosystem. Is the way I like to describe it. Over 140 million people use Wix. You can start and publish for absolutely free. Yeah, so you can start this whole thing and you can see what it's looking like and discover if you like it or not for free to begin with. Yes, it's not like a gateway to get in. Choose from over 500 awesome design templates, or you can start from scratch, your choice. Add, customize anything you want, your own text, images, video. The great thing I love, because when you start building a website, especially if it's a business or something, you're going to want stock video. You're going to want stock images, sometimes stock audio and things of that nature to help customize your site and make it look nice and professional. That's all there. Video backgrounds, galleries, menus, forms, lists, buttons, social bars, clip art, strips. It's there. Yeah. It's awesome. You don't need like a gazillion plugins or going to have to spend a bunch on this plugin and that plugin. They have so much right there for you. Including SEO tools, get found on the search engines and all that. It's there for you. It's so easy to use. If you've never even done a website, if you've been intimidated by the idea of designing a website, be no more. If you can navigate opening up your email, trust me, you can navigate using Wix. It's awesome. Wix.com, Wix.com/podcast. Get 10% off. Wix.com/podcast. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Next story says, hi, just left a voicemail, but realized I got choked up in the middle of it because it's a super personal story. Anyways, rather than possibly airing my rambling, I figured I'd also provide in a written account. Apologies if you aired the call already. About 3 years ago, I worked as a hospice volunteer. I grew up religious and debated on being a minister at one point. Studied religion for 4 years, decided I may try to help people as a layperson, seeing how my grandfather was treated with the uttermost care when the hospice volunteers were dying. I figured I would try to pay it forward. After going through all the classes, I was assigned a patient who could not talk or do anything on their own. It was heartbreaking. She was usually in a wheelchair by herself at the nursing home, or you'd occasionally find that she was lying in her bed. Her only way of communication was babbling, eye contact, and an occasional smile and gripping of your hand. That was it. I went in feeling like I could help someone out initially, but later felt defeated because there was not much that I could actually do. I'd pray with her, listen to music, talk. Sometimes felt like I was talking to the void. A few days, I'd get in a little late to the appointments I had agreed with the family and on around what times I should visit, which made me feel even worse because I was working at a call center and had to fit the visits in when I was able to take a lunch, which varied due to volume. Later into our visits, I told the patient I would like actually to talk to her one day. I didn't tell her this, but I was also going through a slight crisis of faith with God and wanted to know if there was an afterlife. So I said, if you want to come over to say hello after the time comes, that would be great. In retrospect, I feel like I got lucky that I was not inviting something else into my life. I'll never do that again. Well, the local hospice group called me one day to say there was nothing more that could be done and said I didn't need to come back again. So I went on with life, and I figured I might not have time to work with another patient since I was going through a lot at that point. Fast forward a few months, I had to sleep in another room because my wife was snoring around 2 a.m. So I went to that other room and fell into probably the deepest sleep I've ever had. Dreams are funny because you can move in and out of areas, but this one was different. All I can remember is a bright yellow light, which was warm and comforting. The patient was walking and smiling, and she gave me a huge hug. Thanked me for coming over. She let me know everything was okay. She didn't have much time. It was very clear on that part. Being a natural skeptic, I asked how I knew this was actually real. And all I heard as she faded was Boston. My wife yelled. The alarm clock stopped working on her phone and I was crying coming out of bed. So about 15 minutes late to work, I couldn't get rid of the dream. So on my way to work, I started Googling Boston and her name, which was super generic sounding. I can't use it due to HIPAA, but let's say John Smith would have been the equivalent. Nothing came up. So I used her husband's first name and then her name along with Boston. I found that she had died a month earlier and her obituary was in the Boston Globe, which reassured me that one, it was okay, or she was okay, and two, it was going to be okay after going through my crisis, or I was going to be okay after going through my crisis of faith. Thanks for sharing my story.
I just think it's, I mean, after all the stories we've ever heard, I just think it's amazing that they're able to come back in our dreams and not scare us, but to deliver a message that we're able to put together while we're awake.
I think if, I don't know if I really, if I mean this or not, because part of me is like, ooh, seeing a full-bodied ghost would be cool. I think I'd wet myself a little bit. But I guess the safe way, if I had to pick, you know, how to experience a ghost, that might be it. Something like that where it happens in a dream. It's not necessarily scary because it's in a dream. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, you can somewhat write it off to maybe it was just a dream. Until you can connect those dots and go, oh, shit, that was more than a dream.
Yeah.
And then that'd be kind of a neat moment.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a freaky one, but a neat moment.
Yeah.
More so than, you know, you turn around the corner and there's somebody standing there that, you know, then disappears or something.
Sure.
So, what would you pick? I mean, you had your imaginary friend as a kid that you actually saw.
Yeah, but so, I didn't know he was a ghost until I was an adult.
Yeah. And I don't know, would you put that into the category of full-bodied apparition? Because nobody else is seeing it, or is that more just on the different level of being a sensitive kid that's able to pick up on that stuff?
That's a hard one to know, because I don't know if you have to, if it has to be something everybody can see for it to count as that or not.
And this may be incorrect, but I guess the way I always looked at like a full-bodied apparition was something where it's like, a whole room of people could see it.
Okay.
If it was there, it's like, boom, there it is. Mm-hmm. And obviously no one else saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And with what we've learned about people and their sensitivities of being able to see, you know, like this, like you had with kids seeing an imaginary friend, or even in sometimes adults, they can sense things, they can see other things, but no one else can. I don't know if that is technically like the full bodied apparition or if that's, it's there, but it's because you have whatever it is that can pick up on that.
I think it still counts because, I mean, how many times do we get stories and maybe, you know, one or two people saw this happen? You know, if there hadn't been anybody else there, they still would have seen that, and it would have counted as a full-bodied apparition.
And how do you know when there's no one else there?
Mm-hmm. And there's people that aren't going to see ghosts no matter what, no matter how bad they want to, no matter how plain as day is it is there, they're just not able to.
Oh, I think there's some that anyone can see. No, I mean, I think there are certain ones where it's just like it's so damn strong, even if you don't believe in it.
Yeah.
And you don't have any sensitivity, it's just, it's there.
There might be.
But I don't know that's, you know, I think there's more so other things out there than that.
Well, I count my little ghost friend as full-bodied apparition because he was so real, I didn't know he wasn't real.
Yeah.
So.
All right. There you go. I don't know. This is an interesting, you know, it all comes down to like categorizing what they are. Not that it really matters, but
sure.
It's just kind of interesting. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next story, it says, this took place about 9 years ago. I was around 15 years old. My cousins and I were young and stupid. I say stupid because of the trouble that we caused and decided to dabble in a little bit of witchcraft. We went all out, going to the store, buying a spell book, candles, an altar, everything. We drew a pentagram on the back, on the back of an old mirror and used that as a place where we would cast our spells. Little did we know, we drew the pentagram upside down and allowed negative spirits to pass through. About 3 months after playing with this and the pentagram, we all started to have occurrences in that house. I'd spend the night there every weekend and would wake up in the morning to brush my hair and see a little girl in the mirror behind me. Let me inform you that this house was not haunted before our dabbling. My cousin stated that she had seen a young woman, a little girl, a little boy, and a dog in the mirrors of her house. We never thought anything of it because, hey, old houses are sometimes haunted. We never thought any of them were harmful, so we were not afraid of them. We'd sit in her room and end up in the living room listening to her parents talk and never leave her room. After that, we started getting creeped out. My cousin, whom we'll call Lynn, would wake up with gouges and scratches on her back only to have them disappear when we'd approach someone else about it. These were the minor occurrences. Little did we know, things were about to get worse. One night after getting home late from our friend's house, we came home to an empty house, so figuring her parents were out like they sometimes were out for the night, we made nothing of it. The house was freezing cold, like there was no heat coming from anything. Might I mention it was the middle of summer? We knew something was not right. We immediately had a feeling of dread, and not gonna lie, we were scared out of our minds. We sat on the porch until her parents came outside and asked what we were doing outside. Her parents were home the whole night. Weird, right? Well, it gets worse. We went to the house and the images we saw in the mirror started showing their true colors. Their eyes were glowing red and they were turning all black. These things were in every mirror in the house. We finally realized, with our dabbling, we had let a demon into the house and had no idea how we were going to get it out. Her mother just looked at us and asked, "What did you do?" We then knew we were in over our heads. Well, this went on for 2 months before we figured out a plan. We abandoned all of our stuff only to find it back in the trunk of the car. The next step was to burn it. We burned everything and prayed as we did this. The smoke was so black you could not see through it. We hoped that all worked. Well, it did to the point we closed the porthole demons were entering through but did not remove them from the house. We then knew we had to get an exorcism done at the house. My cousin's home is right next to a cemetery, and we decided we needed to pray, so we went to the chapel and prayed to God for him to help us and told him we were very sorry for what we had done. On our way, we noticed two angels, if you will, or things like that, guarding the doors. We began crying. It scared the crap out of us, but also we felt a sense of calm and knew that everything was okay or was going to be okay. We went back to the house, and my aunt had brought the three of us using gold crosses. She bought us 3 gold crosses to wear along with the Bible. We got in touch with a priest who happened to be a friend of my mom's, and he agreed to bless the house. This worked. We've not had another experience yet, and we're happy as can be. I'll write in with more stories should anything else happen. See, I'm thinking the do-it-yourself at-home exorcism kits from Blue Apron would really be a...
I was just thinking we should somehow tag this story because it's a really good one without any bad language for kids to hear when they want to dabble in stuff.
Okay.
Just because there's so many stories and it gets so dark. And this one is just PG enough that they could get it and still get scared.
Do you think the kids who are ready to start dabbling in witchcraft don't swear?
Well, I just... No, I mean, you're right. They do. I'm sure they do.
I mean, I think if they're at that level and they're about ready to do that, I'm thinking there's a lot of swearing going on.
You're right. It's a very good point. I'm all hopped up on cough medicine, so I don't really know what I'm saying.
I mean, it'd be one thing. It would work for Harper if one day she came home and said, let's fuck Candyland. Let's break out the Ouija board. I want to do a seance in my room.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be good. Harp, I think we should think of more Candyland. I think that might be. But hell, she swears.
She does. She swears more than I do.
Yeah. So, yeah. But it is a good lesson.
It is a good lesson.
It is. It's one of those the more you know type stories. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter, it says, my husband and I used to live in a small 2-bedroom house in the country. We preferred sleeping in the back, slightly smaller room due to the reduction in road noise and the morning sun. One afternoon, as I was lying on the bed with books and my laptop, I rolled over to rest my neck and noticed the ceiling fan slowly turning. Strange, because it was turning so slowly, even slower than it would on low. And stranger, since I didn't even turn the fan on anyway. I watched it until it stopped, not more than a minute or so. Nothing scary. I didn't feel strange or threatened in any way, or any of the feelings you'd supposedly get with a supernatural encounter. It was an old house, so it could have very well been some electrical surge which causes the fan to start turning. However, the lights didn't dim. It never happened again. There's a small chance it could have just been a draft since the house was old, but all the exterior windows and doors were closed. Afterward, I began to notice our dog wouldn't come into that room. She'd stare into it. She walked by. She'd stand in the doorway, but would never come in. And as I began thinking about it, I realized she had never come into that room. She had never followed us in there at night or napped under the bed or sat with me as I was working in there. Before the fan incident, she'd stand in the doorway and bark only a few times, I'd remember. I just chalked it up to the window being directly on the opposite door. I assumed she was barking at the shrubs blowing around or a bird on the sill or something outside. And as I said, it rarely happened. Putting together the fan turning on its own and the dog's trepidation to the room, I began doing some investigating. I knew a bit about the home as we had bought it from my husband's father, who had bought it from a friend. After further digging, I discovered the friend's wife's mother had built the house in the 1960s. Not so old, so I felt I was at a dead end. However, I also discovered that the mother had lived before that in a much older home circa the mid-1800s, I was told, which wasn't more than a barn-type structure, which began construction of the new home. Since the owners didn't have much money, some older neighbors remember the house being built. It was a big ripple that someone in their class could build a brand new house. So I think I'm onto something. I tried to talk to the previous owner's mother, and she didn't have any comments about which bedroom her mother used or where she had passed or anything about the much older house of the property. Very tight-lipped about the whole situation. I didn't feel it polite to push, as she seemed still upset by her mother's passing. However, I did find out that she grew up in the newer house, and her older siblings were raised in the old one. Courthouse records show the land and home, but were hand-drawn without exact measurements of where the house actually stood. All we ever found out of the old house were a few stones in the porch, a couple of pieces of broken china washed into a gully, and some rusty tools buried in what would have been the front yard. From this, we have an idea of its approximate location. Never really set right with me. The happenings I witnessed, the dog's reaction, the mother's refusal to speak of the house. We moved to the family farm in the same area a couple of years later. And it still took me a few years of riding by that house to realize that the bedroom window, which the dog would bark at, would have been directly perpendicular to the front of the old house. This was all before the digital imaging ghost hunting movement, and so I wish that we had the opportunity and foresight to take photos. The mother moved from Chicago and built a house in the nearby area and has a mural of her mother's house, our previous home, in her sitting room. I can't help but have the feeling that if the daughter loved this home so much to this day, perhaps her mother did too. Perhaps she never wanted to leave something she had waited so long for.
So the new house was not built on top of the old house. So they knew where the old house was, but I guess from that window they could see the spot where the old house was, and that's maybe what freaked the dog out. Because I was starting to wonder if maybe that particular room was at one point part of the old house or built on top of where the old house had been.
Do you think the dog was seeing the old house, or was seeing something from the old house, or...
Or the old lady looking in that window.
Yeah, staring in.
Kind of what I'm wondering. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's reasons animals don't go places, you know?
I wonder if they're like they're just like the sensitive people that we were talking about earlier, where they're all just like that's just a normal sense to them. It's just the same as smell and everything else. So it's not supernatural. It's just, oh, I see that.
I think so, because they pick up on people that are not good people, and they pick up on places that have bad energy for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would think so.
And people who aren't even there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your experiences with us. Let's go over to this caller. Hi, what's your story?
Hi, Tony. My name is Jill, and I've been listening to your show for a couple months now. I think I found it around Halloween last year and just got hooked ever since. Anyway, so I've always been sensitive to the paranormal, and I still am. I still have a lot of things happen, which I have plenty of stories for plenty of calls. But this one, I'm always hesitant to talk about, because it's just a hard one. It's a hard memory to bring up because it's terrifying. So anyway, my sister and I, the house we grew up in was very old. My dad and his brother had lived there growing up too, which they had things happen to them all throughout the time they lived there as well. But anyway, this particular story, my sister first saw her. She said that she saw a little girl walk into her bedroom, and the little girl had short black hair. And I had very blonde hair when I was little, and I was much younger than my sister. We're 5 years apart, so I was at this time probably a baby. But for whatever reason, my sister saw this little girl walk into her room and looked at her and said, "Jill," even though she knew it wasn't me. I guess her brain was just trying to make sense of it. But anyway, she said the little girl just sat in the middle of her floor playing with this Barbie horse. I don't know if your kids, well, I guess your kids are too young to have had them, but they were these little Barbie horses that if you turned on the buttons, they would walk by themselves. But anyway, she said she had this Barbie horse and just sat in the middle of her rug in the middle of the floor and played with it. And she kept calling her and saying, "Jill." And finally, the little girl looked up at her and shook her head no. She said she can remember, you know, I said she had short black hair, really pale skin, a long nightgown on. And at this point, when the little girl looked at her and acknowledged her, she ran in to find my mom. I guess my mom was with me, and my mom can still remember my sister coming to tell her this story. So that was our first encounter with this girl. I'm sure it wasn't really a little girl, but anyway. My encounter with her happened, I don't know, I guess I was maybe 6 or 7, and I was down in the basement, which was bizarre because I hated that basement. I don't know why I was down there alone, but I was. And I was playing on this keyboard that my dad had. And while playing the keyboard, I heard someone call my name. And it was kind of in the distance, but I thought it was my sister. So I just kind of responded back, and I said, "Jen." And I didn't hear anything. So a couple of minutes later, I heard it call my name again, and it would go, Jill, kind of like a real sing-songy type of voice. So I hollered back again. I said, what, Jen? And, you know, I didn't get a response. It was not the response that I was hoping for. So it kept calling my name, and it kept getting louder and louder to the point that it was no longer a sweet little sing-songy voice, but it was more of a demanding voice, and it started telling me to come play with it. It was coming from our basement. The steps we had were the kind of steps that if you were to go around, you could go underneath the steps, so they're very hollow. And this voice was coming from underneath of those steps. I could just tell by the way it was echoing. So at this point, I'm done. I'm like, I'm getting out of here. So I ran up the stairs as this voice is just hollering louder and louder. And I get to the top of the steps, and I looked at my mom, and I, in a panic, I said, you know, where's Jennifer? Is Jennifer here? And she looked at me, and she was like, no, she left about an hour ago for Lauren's house. Lauren was her girlfriend at the time. And I said, well, okay, well, I've got to call her. So my mom gave me the phone, dialed her number, and sure enough, she was at Lauren's house, and Lauren lived far enough away that there was no possible way that she could have been down there calling my name and then gotten to her house so fast. So those were our two real encounters with this child, which, again, I'm sure is not really a child because I now have a friend. He is a medium, and I was telling him this story, and he clued me in that that was indeed not a little girl, but rather some sort of demonic presence that was trying to get to my sister and I and befriend us. I can't think of us having any more encounters with her in particular, other than those two instances. She kind of went away after we moved from that house. But I truly believe people are haunted, not just places. And we have had many, many, many of other encounters with all sorts of things, which, again, those are stories for different calls. It took me long enough to call this one in because, again, I don't particularly care to talk about her or it. So anyway, that's my story, and I hope you guys enjoy it and play it. I really love the show, and it's really great to hear other people that have had these crazy situations happen to them and feel like maybe you're not so crazy. So thanks, guys, and I hope to hear it. Bye. Hi, Tony. My name is Jill, and...
Oops, go ahead.
I said, I think she was really lucky in that it didn't escalate beyond the point of just the name being called out. And then when they were when they moved, that it didn't follow them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where, you know, she had mentioned sometimes people are haunted and mm-hmm. not just places. But I think sometimes when people are haunted, that's where you do get the following.
Yeah.
Of the thing. I don't know why my music is only playing over here and not through the computer. There we go. There we go. Better. Computer's haunted.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Yeah. Interesting story. Thank you, Jill, for calling in and sharing that that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. You ever see these? And I know you don't like ghost videos, but these are not really, they're not ghost videos. They're like little snippets of weird shit, but it's always like in a different language. It's always filmed in a different country. They go viral really fast online, and you're like, holy shit, what is that? There's a new one that recently came out of Argentina, and it just looks like somebody's recording their kids playing soccer out on a field, and then all of a sudden this goblin is how they're describing it. The best way I could describe it would be like a walker on The Walking Dead that's like kind of pulling themselves using their arms because they're lying on the ground. And it just kind of comes out of this wooded area in field, and it scares the hell out of these kids, and they all run off, and then the video ends. And these videos do not look very staged.
Okay.
And that's what... It's so eerie about him. It's number one, you don't understand a word anybody is saying unless you speak the language.
Yeah.
Number two, they just look very natural. They look like regular, you know, moms taping the kids playing.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very authentic feel to them, which makes it very creepy. Usually you can tell when somebody's, you know, staging something.
Yeah.
But there's all sorts of these ones. This one is out of Argentina, and it's a creepy one. It made a headline in the UK magazine, The Mirror. It says, children say they're too scared to play football after they spot goblin on the side of the pitch, which means the side of the field. And it's just, it's a creepy ass video. And I don't know what to make of these things. And the kids are genuinely freaked out. So either like some parent thought, this is going to, I'm going to freak the hell out of my children and tape this, and mm-hmm. it's going to create a great video. I don't know. It's just.
That would be really scarring, this, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, if a parent did that on purpose, then, you know, that's just terrible.
Yeah, these things are all over.
Oh wow!
And they're—I don't know. Again, you—I know.
I'm not gonna watch it.
It's
sorry.
It's one of those things where I watch them, so then like Facebook knows I watch that, so it's like, hey, have another one.
Right.
Eat more. So that's probably why I see them more frequently than you do. But I don't know. I'm just kind of fascinated by them because I, fake or not, I'm curious about if they are fake, which they likely are. What's the thought process here? Mm-hmm. How did you make this? Why did you make this? I would love to know the backstory on this. Like, what is the thinking on doing this thing? Is it just, you know, to get a good rise out of people and freak them out? I mean, it could very well be. The thing is, some of them are like really done in very impoverished areas and countries mm-hmm. where I don't, it's like, do you really want to go freak all these people out right now? I mean, they might kill you.
Yeah.
You know, the way, you know, the settings for some of these things are, I don't think there's a whole lot of law going around to supervise anything. And if somebody's seeing something like this coming up, I could see someone stabbing or shooting it.
But maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point, to try and make it seem more authentic, to film it in a very yeah. impoverished area, to where that is not a place where, oh, people have a lot of money to fund something like this
sure.
for a great big hoax.
I would just think that whoever's playing the part of the goblin could easily be killed.
Yeah.
You know, in error. Like, no, it's a joke. Like, oh, shit, he's dead.
Well, yeah, you know? I mean, that's a chance anytime.
It's like, oh, he's playing the goblin next week, you know? Bill got killed in the last video, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just interesting. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com. And $5 a month, get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, free e-copy of the book. It's all there for you at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.